Hello and welcome to Camera Central Podcast. Today we have the first in-person experience of Mike. What's Mike? Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Mike, also known as MCaptured. I'm a London-based freelance landscape photographer and creative photographer.
The Camera Central Podcast is available both on Spotify and YouTube, so make sure you like, follow and subscribe if you want to see more. Let's get back into it, shall we? Amazing. And kind of like, what is your inspiration when it comes to the photography in which you do?
I don't know, to be honest with you. It's more, I used to do graphic design when I was younger, so a lot of that gets implemented into my editing now. But I've just always been drawn to dark, moody pictures, high contrast with vibrant colours. There's nothing in particular that inspires my edits as such. I just edit the way I like to edit and until I think that the pictures... finished product.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Well, I think looking through your Instagram, I think, and talking to you before this, we were talking about the fact that you used to be a graphic designer, or still are. Are you still a graphic designer?
Not at the moment. Just
not at the moment. You used to be a graphic designer, so you can definitely tell that there is a lot of sort of like design composition elements that you put into your work and the way in which you structure your images, with quite a bit of focus on kind of like vanishing point and stuff like that. What would you say is kind of like the things that you really look for in an image?
Mostly symmetry. I love reflections. Anything that leads, like leading lines that leads the viewer's eye to the subject. Anything that just draws you into the picture.
Yeah.
And then with my editing, I just expand on that.
Yeah, 100%. And that's something I would say about your work in general, is that you do tend to put quite a bit of time into changing the composition or bringing out certain elements. And I think this is actually a great image to talk about in that retrospect. Is of course, this is a photograph of London Bridge, which we talked about earlier being one of your favorite locations to shoot. But if you actually have a look at this is clearly not the original photo. So this is the actual original photo. And then this is the edited version of that. How much time do you put into coming up with the composition element of your stuff? And
edit wise, that probably took about 2 hours to do. The hardest bit was obviously removing all the distractions in the background, just leaving the Tower Bridge as the sole focus. And then also, you see where the bridge disappears in the background? That was quite a tricky part to get right. I had to duplicate part of this part of the bridge that's closer.
Just kind of extend it, shape it, blur it out.
So that was a tricky bit.
That is another cool one. So is this there again done in post, I'm guessing?
If you slide, the original's on the next slide as well. So that's the original. So I did take two photos with this. I didn't post the other one. So there's the focus on the bridge, and then the other picture was the focus on the glass.
Yeah.
And then I combine the two together.
And then obviously moved the bird into the center.
Just for my symmetry.
Yeah.
But also I just flip the left-hand side, and that creates such a dynamic image.
Yeah.
I tend to do that quite a lot in my images.
Because it's one of those things that I think the work in which you do is so kind of like conceptual based in kind of like how you edit it. That it's actually quite an interesting like point of view from the retrospect, where like how do you come up with these compositions in general, in terms of like what you're looking to get out of the image? I mean, because you were obviously walking around London here, you saw this reflection. Is it something that you knew at the time that you wanted to create this edit with, or that, is it like
that picture? Yes. Obviously some pictures I don't. But that picture in particular, I did have that idea in mind, and I knew exactly what I was going to do when I went home and edit it. Which always makes it easier when it comes to editing, and always makes it quicker.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I spend a lot of time looking at it, trying various things, and a lot of the time I'll try a couple of things, not like it. I'll come back a couple of days later.
Okay, so this is of course London and Grand, and you actually won an award for it, didn't you?
Yeah, so this one won the Open Avant-Garde competition. Which then went on to win the Photography of the Year.
The
overall photographer.
Sorted. Are you happy about that?
Oh, it was probably one of my proudest moments of my life. It's hard to explain in words how it felt, other than I really wasn't expecting to win it.
It's one of those, like, it's nice to get that sort of, like, I'd like, from my perspective, like, I've experienced it because I've haven't really dived into photography. I've always been a, you know, photography in my, like, part-time, you know, whatever. But when you actually see a photo and you're like, do you know what, that's actually really good. It kind of brings things. But then, of course, you've got another level of it where you've actually got an award for the photo as well. So
it does add a special element to it.
Special elements. So when it comes to this particular photo, kind of, this is the original, and you can kind of tell how much you've kind of put into it. It's already a pretty awesome photo as it is, to be fair.
Yeah, it's got a really nice leading line and, curvature to it. That I based the edit on that, which you'll see in the original. But the thing that the judges like the most, if you see on the very far right, you've got the red section of the door. Through the window, you can see the woman peering through.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one of the sort of key points that they said made the image, because it added that human element to it.
Yeah, added that human element. That's actually a really good point there.
I don't know if you can zoom in.
Can we? Let's have a look. Oh, we can. There you go. There's a woman.
And I actually spent a bit of time drawing her out, because, again, obviously, if you flick to the original and then zoom in.
Oh, was it actually something that you weren't... Okay. Yeah, she kind of gets lost, doesn't she, quite a bit.
Yeah, so it doesn't stand out as much. Obviously, on Instagram, it's a lot smaller. But when it's printed out, it's very much more noticeable.
Yeah, that's mad. Oh, that's crazy. I love it when little details like that come out on a photo. I had it in a very... This is like not anyway near similar to this epic masterpiece. but I had it on a photo that I took down Barry Bados the other day, where there's like a little kid at the end of this like big leading line thing. And it's just like... There are moments like that which, you know, it's just so crazy to capture. Yeah. It's like everything kind of just lined up. And must have done that for you.
Yeah. So good.
In terms of the editing side of this, kind of like what did you do to it to adapt it?
Well, I did the flipping of the bottom bit, as you can see on the top, just to give it that extra dynamic of symmetry. I used path blur.
Yeah.
So on some of my images, I use radial blur, but on path blur, separate, you can shape the angle of the blur, which is how you can keep the curvature of the train. And then color grading, and that's about it, really. There's not a lot of technical stuff that goes into my images. It's just I like to make them as eye-catchy and as unique as possible.
Yeah, as freeform as you can kind of see.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
And I like to remove a lot of distractions. So on the floor, you've got like the white grate bit on the floor. So I remove all of that.
Make anything it more clear, that kind of like
anything that, if I look at the picture, if my eye gets drawn to something and it's not the subject, I'll tend to remove it.
Yeah, Tyler, do you have any thoughts on this? Tyler is with us, by the way.
Yeah, hi. I just think they're really awesome, mate.
Thank you.
To be fair, I mean, I'm not one for conceptual stuff myself, but I can appreciate it when I see it, and I think you've got a real skill for it, to be fair.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Really sharp. And like, I'm like Stuart, like the hidden details and stuff. Like, I look for that. And sometimes you don't even plan it, do you? It kind of just sort of happens. Yeah. And you go, oh, I didn't notice that when I took it. But like, now you're looking at it in more depth and more detail.
It can be quite annoying for me, because I actually spend a lot of time working on the tiny details that a lot of people will overlook or not see, mostly because it's my portfolio is on Instagram. It's a lot smaller, but I spend a lot of time trying to bring out the small details if people do actually go look for them.
And I find that when I'm looking at those images, I'm like, I'm spending time looking at it, and I'm not just going, oh, that's nice, like
I get quite a lot of people saying that they like stop scrolling and really look at the picture and zoom in, which is what I love, which is 100%.
And that's the kind of interaction that you really want out of a piece of artwork, especially because in this day and age where like video has kind of taken the main like stage and portal call of everything, it's quite hard to really, you know, build an audience for just photography, really, because usually, you know, you've got to do a reel, you've got to do this. And the fact that you're actually getting people like genuinely stopping, being like, I need to have a look at this edit to see if he's put any juicy nuggets in there.
Juicy nuggets, that's the new word we're going to use.
For sure.
So these as well, like low perspective images.
Yeah.
So the camera's right on the floor. I love these as well, especially on a wide angle. This is one of my favorite spots for it, because you've got that, the lines in the floor, like the little grate in the floor. It's just another element that leads you to the subject. And
this looks like it was a snowy day as well.
Yeah, so this was the only day that I've actually been out in the snow. I was at a restaurant, and for some reason I had my camera with me. Oh, we left the restaurant, and it was chucking it down. So
have you got the pre-shots? Oh no, have you got the pre exposure of it? No,
no. The
these are all awesome, by the way. I don't even know why I'm clicking past them so quickly. It's like, because it almost feels like you've got like grain in your image, but of course it's a snowfall.
Yeah. So these are those. I added the people in those.
I added the people in those ones in that image. What, from another image, is it? Or like,
yeah, so it's the same image. They were a bit further down the road. Okay. So I've enlarged them and just moved them over.
Oh, sick. I think the biggest thing when it comes to edits is where you can also not tell that it's edited as
well. Yeah, I think that's the true skill, right? Is being able to look at something and then it not looking like it's been edited at all. I think it's so awesome to do that.
It's like the Uncanny Valley-esque kind of, like, you know, where you've got like things that look almost too realistic to the point where, you know, it doesn't really work. But like you've got stuff to the point where it looks kind of like, for lack of a better word, fantasy, like techno fantasy, I guess. But
it's more of a when you say, "Oh, I edited this," and we go, "Really? Did you?"
Yeah.
It's
like,
if you hadn't said, I'd have just gone, "That's a nice."
I think I had the one that I had the most experience when it came to kind of like, "Oh, you edited that," and it sounds really weird, but the Tower Bridge one.
Yeah.
I did, like, when I first looked at it, I was just like, "Oh, that's Tower Bridge, but where's the city?" But it like took me like a minute or two to be like, "Oh my god." I know it's probably the most obvious one. I'm just a little bit like flies over my head sometimes.
No, it's nice to hear that.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. You did not shoot that on a 1424, that shot, though.
No, I didn't.
No.
No, that one was definitely an 85.
Yeah.
I think that was the only...
Oh, 85, 85 kind of kills it. Sorry to kind of like call you out.
No, it's fun.
But of course, main thing people are going to look is obviously the first shot, right?
Just for that picture,
Yeah, fair enough.
So, on that topic, then, what kind of cameras? What are you using?
At the moment, I'm using a Sony A7 III and a A7 III and an A7R III.
Okay.
Cool. And they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
I wanted to upgrade, but I haven't really had a reason to.
The R3, I think, still remains one of my favourite cameras I've ever had.
It's an awesome camera.
It's just badass. It was like the first camera to introduce 120 slow motion, like at the full frame on the HD. And I remember, because I was shooting weddings at the time, it was like, it's an awesome camera. But also the megapixel size and everything just kind of worked really well on that camera.
But, I mean, have you got a lens of choice? What's your go-to?
85 for street. And 14-24 for the landscape stuff.
I got the 85mm, 100%.
Yeah, 85 inch mark.
Sigma though.
Yeah, what? Oh.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah,
I'm
joking. I've had an 85 since 10 years.
Yeah,
it was.
I can't be without it. So yeah.
I think that was one of my first lenses I bought.
The
85.
Yeah,
and it's.
It's solid. The 85, like the general primes and like the 24, 35, the 50, 85, they're brilliant. 85 is a standout in general. I think it's the first one you're like, this is really awesome.
Yeah. It's the compression that you get in it. I love the compression, especially for the landscape stuff.
Yeah.
As when you can get like the Tower Bridge and then Canary Wharf, where Canary Wharf's still relatively large compared to Tower Bridge. I love that.
No, it's sick. I think the craziest thing that I've done with the compression was I put a 2x teleconverter on a 600mm. Which, no, it's crazy. We did that in another video. But, 85 is brilliant. What other lenses do you shoot? You shoot the 14?
14 to 24. I've got a 35 1.4 from Sigma, the 85, and a 24-70, which is the most universal lens
setup ever.
I rarely use it.
Yeah.
Because if I'm doing the landscape stuff, I'll put the 14-24 on.
Yeah.
If I'm doing street stuff, it would be the 35 or the 85, because I like to have that prime element to be able to put it down to 1.4, 1.8.
Mostly
because I do night photography, so I need to put it down as low as I can.
So do you prefer doing the night stuff to the day stuff then?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Every time it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. You'll very rarely see me have like the daytime blue colour in any of my images.
Oh, really? So you take out the blue usually?
Yeah, I'll tend to white out the sky because then it gives me that high contrast look that I look for. So that would be my daytime editing style.
Yeah.
So like, crush the blacks, bright highlights, and then
I'm very similar. I quite like dark and moody. I just like dark and moody. I need to do a night shoot at some point. I haven't really done it in a long time. Of course, this one's shot in the day though.
This one is shot in the day. This one's a weird one. I get a lot of comments about the reflection.
Yeah,
that it's mirrored.
Yeah, okay.
And when I was actually editing the picture, when I reflected it normally, it was too one-sided. Even though it's symmetrically perfect, it was still too heavy on one side. So I flipped the mirror, the reflection, and it gives just a different dynamic to the...
Oh, sorry, it just decided to be really weird then. Where is it? Probably quite far down there. The there you go.
So I think actually if you scroll, there might be the original for that.
Oh, what? Scroll to the...
Yeah, sorry, no, the next slide. Yeah, so that was the original.
Oh, mad.
So, yeah, a little bit edited. So I did the colour grading. I did use the generative AI to fill in the top bit, you know, where the trees are.
Yeah.
Just to give it that extra bit of framing.
Yeah.
Reflected it. And then I wasn't happy with the reflection, then mirrored the reflection. And that was it. I looked at that and I was like, that's the one.
So this, I think this question is probably going to be an interesting perspective from your point of view, because I don't know how much you would actually use it. How much do you think generative AI has changed the way you work?
It sped up my work, if anything.
Yeah.
I try not to use it as much. I still like to do things manually.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to get through a workload quickly, I'll use it. But I tend to use it to remove elements.
Yeah.
That's probably the one of few images I've actually used it to add stuff. So I tend to use it just to...
So you tend to do the majority of the stuff by hand and then...
It's because when I started learning, it was back in the Photoshop CS3 days.
Oh.
So, yeah, everything was done manually. There was no layer masking or anything like that. So, and that's just how I've still edited now.
Yeah.
It works. I never needed to change.
Back in the day, CS3, it's just come such a long way now, isn't it?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is another one. I love doing these lookup shots. And this is one of the best locations for it.
Yeah.
Outside the Lloyds building, because you've got the Gherkin, you've got the Sky Garden, plus the Lloyds building.
Have they actually like legit called it the Gherkin now?
Yeah.
Have they?
Yeah, when you Google it, it comes up Gherkin.
Yeah.
So these ones, I had the radial blur, so it's different to the path blur. And
So you've not actually directed it, because it looks like it's semi-directed, but I guess not.
No, again, I think...
Because there's like a curve here, I think.
There's a second slide. See, all of these are the second slides. I think they've got the originals. So if you click to the next slide, you might be able to see. I'm not sure. Oh, no, it's just a different version. That's all done in post-production.
I feel like it's one of those things, find certain people that you're just quite happy looking through their portfolio. And,
I posted that again recently, and it's got the before, if you wanted to do the comparison. Okay.
I think it says a lot about somebody when their work comes to the talking.
What's that?
I think it says a lot about someone when your work does the talking for you.
Yeah.
I think that's very much, it's rare that happens, actually.
Yeah.
And you can go, it just is what it is at that point, you know. And it's awesome. It's really good. That shot is amazing.
Oh, my God.
So the two people that are actually in the after, that's those two there. So I've kept them in, removed everyone else.
That would have had to actually physically cut them out though as well.
And from the light.
I don't know if they would have actually got lost in the detail. Oh no, you can kind of pick them out a little bit, to be fair. Where's the other? Oh, there you go.
You see, with raw images, you lift the shadows, you can see exactly
where they're.
Amazing these days.
Especially if there's Sony RAWs, man.
But yeah, I spend a lot of time removing distractions, removing elements from images, just focusing on the subject, really, making it as unique as possible.
That's basically photography there in a nutshell.
Mm.
Yeah, removing distractions. But no, definitely. This is like something dangerous about to happen.
So that one, the...
Again, like you were talking earlier about kind of the area of where you do photography and... There is like little things that people wouldn't otherwise notice, and first of all, you got. I think is this your signature? Putting the seagull in the air, is it?
That one. I think was the. I just moved him over.
Yeah, yeah, he moved him over to the centre. Yeah,
but that was in the picture, the original picture. Yeah, yeah. Moved him. The bus on the right wasn't there though.
But it's also stuff like this as well. These two people making sure that. You know, that they're in there. Is the original photo part of this as well?
Not in there. No. But that the original photo didn't have the bus on the right.
Yeah.
So it's
only
the bus on the left, yeah. So
yeah, fair enough. So is this a mirrored bus and then you've just
done
motion blur. Just but again, it does come down to the kind of like detail that you've put in the small bits, like even moving the seagull into the center, the people here, and like we were talking about earlier, the photo. I mean, this is probably another killer shot here. Is that some, that's something right in the distance, isn't it?
Yeah, that was in the original picture. I've just brought them closer, so I've just made them a little bit bigger just to stand out.
You made them a little bit bigger?
Yeah, so in the original, they were really small. They were really in the distance. So I had to... That's really look hard to find that one. And the person on the train, if you zoom into the front of the train, you can see the driver's face. And on that, the picture was actually really dark.
So do you think, like you put it into the other photo earlier with the lady on the thing, is it something that you try to add into your images, that little human element that almost makes it, grounds it in reality without it necessarily feeling like reality? Because this feels like something out of like, you know, you see a Doctor Who scene or something. It's just like... the entrance of a main hero or character and like the storytelling elements that you're putting in there, but then you're also grounding the realistic elements of your photos.
Yeah, I think it's really important to have that human element in the pictures.
Yeah, for sure.
Really adds a different dynamic.
I could look through your stuff all day, to be honest with you.
That's what I love to hear.
That's what I love to hear, yeah, for sure.
The whole point of why I do it is to make it as unique as possible. Yeah, so when people get drawn into it, there's... achieved what I wanted.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you need to be able to like stop someone from scrolling, essentially.
Mm.
And I was about to say, have you ever done a reel? You've done a few reels here and
there. Yeah, I do reels, yeah. They're mostly just, I need to do more like tutorial stuff.
Yeah, well, tutorial stuff is big, isn't it?
So these are reflection stuff.
I do quite like reflections. It's something I've been noticing me doing a little bit more on the streets photography side of stuff that I do.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is about it. It just, there's something about reflection images that...
That's...
This is one of the coolest photo shoots I've done.
I can imagine. That's crazy.
She was amazing. She makes it look so easy as well.
Yeah. No, it's kind of scary. I don't think I'd be able to do that. I don't think...
I really don't think you'd be able to do that.
No. I could give it a go. I'd give it a college try.
I reckon I could do it.
You probably could, because you are tiny.
Yeah.
Have you got any questions, then?
Is there anything in particular that you look for? I know that sounds like a very generic question, but when you're photographing, is there one thing that you go, I need to find this, or is it just you know when you see it kind of situation?
So for landscape stuff, it's more, I look for a certain subject, and then I try to remove, obviously in a natural way, remove everything originally in the picture as I take it. Mm. But mostly leading lines and just symmetry.
Elements.
Yeah, just the general composition with it, I look for the most. Mm. Everything else just gets added.
And when you're sort of framing that up, are you doing it from your eyes perspective or are you looking through the camera to find that kind of...
Oh, no, through my eyes. Through your eyes, yeah. Yeah, and then I'll just go through the camera and find the best composition.
I tend to do that too. So you sort of see a picture.
Yeah.
You can kind of, when you're a photographer, it's very easy to be able to train your brain to be able to see. Is that the case with you as well? That you sort of, sometimes putting the camera down is sometimes the best sort of solution really as well.
Yeah. I'm quite lucky. I can sort of walk around and then just see a composition. Like there's one, actually, if you go back, it's a recent one that I've done. Actually, it's round.
Go down or up?
That one there, the middle one with the shard. If you go down to that one, I was just walking past the area and I've never seen anyone. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to be the first person to take this photo, but I've never seen anyone post that composition before.
100%. Because when you think of the shard, right, you look at that triangular composition, don't you? Or from above.
But it's the different elements of the architecture that made me just was like, wow, that's an incredible shot.
That is incredible. And it's stuff like this that London doesn't have. Like Birmingham, I think, has quite a lot of interesting locations.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously a lot of your shots are in London because you're London based. You're just outside, but it's just such a cool city to see just stuff you wouldn't do otherwise.
It's the mixture of the old buildings and the new buildings. That's what I love.
Well, it's like one of the oldest cities on earth, isn't it? Oh my god.
So that, I think if you scroll, that will show the breakdown of the image.
What? That's crazy.
And then there's two other slides as well that will show the other images that I used. So obviously I've removed those and then put her there. moved her down the stairs a bit because she was right at the top. Yeah. Just added the lighting.
Added the lighting. That's mad. That's crazy. Wouldn't have even...
That's probably one of my favourite photos.
This is where I'd love to get to this level where, you know, you can just see an image just constructing your mind. Because I do it with video all the time. Like, I've got the mind to be able to construct this kind of element for video. But when it comes to photo, it's just completely mind-numbing. Like, it's crazy. Sorry, I'm very into this. This is exciting.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
So how long would an edit take you? I mean, like, I suppose it depends on the image.
Yeah, but... it depends on the image. That one, because it's using multiple images and compositing it, that one did probably take 2 to 3 hours or so.
Okay.
But my general images I do in about an hour.
Cool.
I have this weird schedule where I wake up in the morning and then I'll edit just before I post.
Oh.
So I give myself an hour.
Oh, nice.
To post, yeah. Can be a bit stressful, but...
Yeah, it works. It works, yeah. Working to a deadline and that. Mm.
Yeah, I seem to work best when I'm working to a deadline.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
So this one was an advert, I think it was by Vodafone.
Okay.
And it was just a weird little structure that they had going on in London. Okay. So I just snapped it as I went past and made that.
I am a Vodafone customer.
You're a Vodafone
Don't know if I've ever seen the image before, but that's cool as hell.
Yeah,
it's cool as hell.
I see it. And
mobile phone companies, they pay big money for things like that as well, or they will really make use of it and really do well with it. So that's cool.
Well, hopefully they see it at some point.
Yeah, 13 weeks ago.
Yeah, if you see, I work a lot with reflections.
Yeah. Love a good reflection, do you?
But that's another one that's mirrored, because then you get the white, and you see that white line in the middle. Yeah. Gives that...
Yeah.
Sort of different elements, yeah.
It's really cool.
So, should we talk a bit about Sony?
Yeah, we should probably talk should a little bit about Sony.
You know, they've sent you down, so...
Yeah.
No, it's just kind of like getting really into the photos then. So, of course, Sony, they are your main camera of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see yourself, because, of course, you do run with some of the Sigma setup as well. Is there something you're going to be switching over to the Sony setup soon?
Yeah, it'd be nice to,
Yeah.
I'd be looking to upgrade it all to...
Upgrade
just cost-wise at the minute.
No.
It's obviously, when I first started out, I was just getting what I could at the time. So, yeah, I will be looking to upgrade.
Is there anything you've got your eye on at the moment?
70 to 200.
Yeah.
It's one lens I've never tried.
Okay.
And it's one that I do want to get.
Yeah. The one that I'm liking at the moment, and talking about 70-200, is the macro.
Mm.
So it's not as expensive as what you get. Of course, you probably would end up getting it because of the low light with the f2.8. Yeah. But the macro, I would say, I'm actually really impressed with when it comes to the sharpness, but also the... just in general, I like it. It's nice and light.
Yeah.
So well, you're looking at the GM2, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any camera bodies taking your interest?
I
know you're in an R3, which is still a great camera, but, you know.
The new one with the global shutter.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous.
Oh, you're actually...
It just looks insane.
We ended up going to Turkey to try it out.
And oh, really?
The camera feels... It's one of the best feeling cameras I think I've ever actually had. From Sony in particular, because they haven't necessarily always been perfect for my hands. I have paws. This is going to be the thumbnail. I have paws, but the A9 in particular felt fantastic in my hand. Yeah. Of course, the global shot I think would be interesting for you in particular, because you've got a lot of lights in your image all the time.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd have too many use cases. I think it's mostly for like sports stuff, but...
You'd be surprised because it's one of those things which I think it's killer for like wedding photographers and stuff like that because of flash photography in particular. You're actually going to have a flash rather than half of the frame lit and half the other. Yeah, but no, it's a particularly awesome little camera, that one.
Mm. I probably would be looking to upgrade to the R5 at some point.
Yeah, R5
series or something.
Yeah.
Well, I've got the compact version of that, and first time I've ever owned anything that's 61 megapixel.
The file size is a big jump, isn't it?
It's huge, yeah. But I think the highest res camera I ever owned was a 45, and that was the Z7, Nikon Z7.
Yeah.
And then I jumped up to the 61 megapixel, and you really see it.
Yeah, I bet. Like
a huge difference.
It's massive. I can imagine.
Yeah.
And I'm averaging about 130 megabyte of RAW file.
Christ.
And if I'm shooting 1,000 or 2,000 on the job, which is what I do,
adds
that's
up.
Me, because I'm trigger happy type.
Yeah. I would even say like a good mention there is probably the A7CR because like you said you use it basically the same functionality as the R5 Some, you know, less of a good viewfinder. I don't know if you probably don't use viewfinder that much. Can you use low angle?
I would if I had the R5 because I really want the flip down screen. Because the 3 only sort of comes at pivots, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I would really utilize that.
Yeah.
That's probably the main reason why I would upgrade.
Yeah.
Just for that flip screen.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is it. We're filming on it now. And honestly, I only really shoot from the screen now because it is basically the viewfinder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
the live, you know, sort of exposure that you get through it. I mean, on all cameras, not so much, but on these, you've basically, your viewfinder's gone from that big to that big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's, yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Rarely do I use the viewfinder. The viewfinders on them are good enough that you can see and get things sharp and in focus.
Mm.
But they're not going to be a true sort of comparison. But honestly, I've had awesome time with it. And travel wise, I mean, if you're shooting what you're doing, it's brilliant for that.
100%. Yeah.
So I'd have a look at that. But it's up to you.
Yeah,
no, it's definitely the one I'd be looking to upgrade to when it comes to it anyway.
Yeah, for sure. So a little bit early kind of into that, like the story of how you got into photography. So how did you actually get into photography, if you don't mind?
My sister is a newborn photographer.
Yeah.
So she lent me her old camera when she upgraded to Sony. So she lent me a Nikon. And I went out shooting with that. And I enjoyed it, but I didn't fall in love with it.
Yeah.
And I kind of just stopped after a few months.
Yeah.
And then about a year later, my father passed away. That's all right. So I wanted something to escape from everything. And I went out one evening and just fell in love with it, and then went and upgraded to a Sony, and just been carrying it on since. Yeah,
fair enough. So. Sony, but probably not the best time to say that.
So,
but
so hang on, so you've been doing this about what, a year?
No, this is my third year now.
So. 3 years in, and you're producing work like that, mate, or something.
You've done that accent. Well, I think when it comes to photography, there is a huge personal connection to, you know, to it, and you know, you found that in a sad time in your life, but I think there is something to be said about it, where it is about kind of like the escapism or the sort of like finding yourself in an environment which you found hard to do. I mean, for me, to a certain extent, you know, photography has always been through that, because you know, it's just an experiences that we have through our lifetime to constantly change our aspect of how we see the world.
Mm.
And photo from when I was young to where I am now is completely changed. But that has always been influenced by kind of what's happened in our lives.
Yeah. Now for me, it was I went out, I put my headphones in, started walking around, and that was
vibing. That's it.
Absolutely buzzing.
Yeah.
I came home absolutely buzzing. Just decided that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, the personal journey, I think, with photography, I think, is hugely important. Yeah.
100%. Totally agree. Mental health, particularly for men, always worth talking about and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just knocked the camera out of the way now. It's like facing the wall.
We're okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's something to be said as well, is the, like, mental health, especially for men as well.
I mean, we've talked about that before in the podcast, and it's always a relevant topic because we very much cater our customers with something that really helps in that respect. So, I mean, if it helps you and it helps lots of other people, that's always a good talking point, really.
Well, like, for talking about kind of like the therapeutical aspect of it in that respect is, my mum's a doctor, she does... counselling in psychotherapy with Santre as a speciality. If you're watching, I may have balls up a little. Sorry, don't hurt me. But when it comes to Santre therapy, I did some work with her a little while back, and we were talking on the aspects of like storytelling and you know, how people inflect kind of what they're thinking onto an image and how they build it around using a Santre. It's a really interesting form. But applying, and I think when it comes to talking about that, but necessarily applying it to photography, and especially your kind of work as well, because you kind of build a story via your images, right? And it's how people connect to your images in that respect, is that they feel the story, they feel the understanding coming from that. And I think, it's all really fascinating.
I've always found it interesting, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because photography is about human beings.
Yeah,
that's what I find. It's about us, You know, even if we're not photographing human beings, it's about the story of human life. And
it's why I think AI is not necessarily going to ever take over as photographer. Cause
it never will.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I don't either.
No, unless it wipes out human beings.
I mean, there's always that.
That's a different matter. But yeah, still, we are approaching 40 minutes.
Okay, amazing. So I'll tell you what, let's finish up. It's been absolutely awesome talking to you, first of all.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Really unique and different perspective from what we've had before, especially because, you know, it's a composition-heavy kind of like form of photography.
Yeah.
But, of course, you've been doing this for 3 years. On the grand scheme of things, a lot of people that are viewing this have probably been doing photography a lot longer. What is kind of like the advice that you give to people that are looking to go do something in the creative environment, be it for hobby, pleasure, work?
Mostly just do it as much as you can.
Yeah.
When I first started, I'd go out 2 or 3 times a week. Anytime I could go out, I'd go out and shoot. There'd be times where I'd go out, I wouldn't even shoot anything. I wouldn't be in the mood. And you go home. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's just one of those days. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. You just walk about and you just feel like today's not the day, and you just go home, try another day. Try and find your own style.
Yeah.
And that will really make you stand out from the rest. But always just try and keep learning. There's so much to learn about photography. I mean, I've still got so much to learn. My editing skills are far better than my photography skills. So,
I think but it's something shows. Which I think if you even look at some of the before and afters, I mean, yes, like if, for example, you've got this one and you've clearly grabbed the subjects that you need in the frame, because again, your style of photography, and you're talking about your style of photography being important to adapt and change. I mean, like you're finding your paintbrushes. You know, you're finding the images and then connecting them to create a story overall. And you can tell it from, oh, just forgetting, gone away from that image. You can tell it on this image, you know. You've combined all the elements together to bring that out.
Yeah.
And yes, like when it comes to photos, you may not necessarily, the original photos that you take may be considered, you know, not a great image on the grand scheme of things. And I know this is going to sound hypercritical, but that's not a great image on the
start,
right? It's not. But what you've then applied into that when it comes to the way you thought about it and changed it in general, like, it's hard pressed to say that you haven't got an eye for it, you know. And this, as you start doing this more and more, and you know, you're going to start taking photos that are going to be better and better without any editing, but that doesn't matter. You found something special in what you've created, and you know, you've won an award with it. You know, there's always a place to start and a place to go, and it's really fascinating to see kind of, you know, the stories that you bring to life via your images.
Totally agree with everything you said.
Cool.
100%.
Amazing. But anyway, it's been an awesome podcast. Should we end it there?
Yes, we should.
It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Genuinely.
Thank you very much.
So make sure you like and follow
and subscribe to all of our channels and content, and you can see all of our stuff. In fact, more importantly, you can just see more of me. Don't worry about Stuart.
I mean, I'm more important than him, let's face it.
But
Mike, thank you for coming down. It's been absolutely awesome.
Thank you for having me.
And you've definitely changed my perspective, and I love what you've talked about today, genuinely.
Thank you very much, really appreciate it.
Amazing. So ta, have a good day.
Bye.
Enjoy it.
Bye.
Ta. Yeah, you can say bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.